You would take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. We'll be looking at verse 16 through. I'm just kidding. I won't preach in the sermon. Chapter 25. We're going to look at verses 14 through 30. The title of the sermon, much to Chandler's pleasure, because I don't have a subtitle, is Faithfulness versus Faithlessness. And there is no subtitle, so don't. Matthew writes, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's pray. Father, it is our prayer this evening that you change us because of your word, because of who you are, because of what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Because of this text, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, may we be found faithful. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I may have told this story before, I can't remember, but this is what I think of when I read this text. I remember being a teenager and my parents going away for a short business trip. And at that point, become fairly independent and able to take care of myself. As a teenager, I was pretty self-sufficient and, for the most part, responsible. So my parents decided to leave me alone, sort of. My grandparents lived about a mile and a half down the road, so I wasn't technically alone. I could go down there for meals, which was most important to a 16-year-old. But being the teenager that I was, I probably got into the usual mischief. I wouldn't doubt that occurred. But you can imagine my delight when my parents would call and tell me when this happened that they would be returning home. I knew, hey, they're going to be home this afternoon around 4 o'clock. Everything could be in order. On one particular occasion, I guess that they knew that I had not been on my best behavior. They told me up front that they did not know when they would be returning. It would either be Saturday night or Sunday afternoon. Now, that's when you're 16, that's a pretty big time gap. And that means a lot on what you can and cannot get away with. I decided that it was too much to risk my usual antics, which was taking my dad's boat out to go fishing or just not being at home. I was on my best behavior all weekend long, because I knew, or I didn't know, when he was returning. The story is somewhat similar, being discussed in this parable that we're focusing on tonight. The servants of the master are given an opportunity to be faithful. And not only just faithful, but faithful with all that they have been given. I think that's key. And yet we notice two very different outcomes in this parable. And two outcomes on the part of three servants. Matthew is notable for many things, including the Sermon on the Mount. It's notable for one of the great commission texts. I say one because there's actually five in Scripture. Pastor Ben preached on one of those this morning from Matthew. Matthew is also known for its extensive parables, of which one we're dealing with here tonight. Specifically, Matthew 25 includes three parables, all of which deal with some aspect of Jesus and his imminent return. All three of these parables. There's the parable of the 10 virgins, which kind of sets the context for ours. At the end, we're told, verse 13 of Matthew 25, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour," and speaking of Jesus' return, which kind of leads into our text. It sounded like it started a little weird. "For it will be like a man going on a journey." This is how Jesus will return. This is just kind of setting the context of what it will be like for the servants to answer to the master upon the return of the master. So Matthew, in a real way, Matthew 25 kind of contrasts the faithful servants versus the faithless servants. So the question that we should kind of meditate on during tonight's sermon is, which one are we? Are we faithful or are we faithless? And I want to do that by looking at three specific just kind of statements, not really points, because I think they all make one central point. Are you either faithful or are you faithless? But these three statements kind of undergird that. They support that. First, God entrusts all believers with a portion of his resources. God entrusts all believers with a portion of his resources. Secondly, God's people will be commended and rewarded when they are faithful and obedient. So God's people will be commended and rewarded when they're found faithful and obedient. Thirdly, those who fail to use the gifts God has given them for his service, those are the faithless and the disobedient, and they will be punished. And those are kind of three themes that you need to pick up on as we kind of walk through this text. First, God entrusts all believers with a portion of his resources. To understand this point, we will look at this parable from the viewpoint, really, of the master, okay? It is not to your surprise when we read through this, each of you assumed Jesus when we were reading the master. Each of you did. And the reason that you did that is because you've walked through the book of Matthew and you've kind of understood what Matthew was getting at. Matter of fact, if you flip over to Matthew 24 and just kind of let your eyes fall down through the major sections, what we learn from Matthew 24 is that much of what he talks about is the coming of the Son of Man, and no one knows the day or hour. And you know the progression of the gospel, that this is leading, the crux point of the crucifixion, and then even on to where we ended, where Matthew ends, and where Ben preached from this morning in the Great Commission and the sending out. So you know that all of this is in the context of Jesus and his return. So you assume that rightly. In this passage, the master is said to call his servants to himself and to explain to each of them that he is departing on a journey. He's going away. Usually when you go on a journey, you cannot attend to your own affairs. For instance, I spent the better part of 45 minutes this evening before I come to church watering my parents' plants and taking care of stuff around their house and starting their cars and making sure, because they're gone for a month. When you're gone on a journey, you cannot take care of your affairs. So he's bringing his servants to them and explaining that he's going on a journey. I think you should note here that each of the servants received the same instruction. It wasn't like he singled this servant aside and gave them one set of instructions, and this servant aside and gave them another set, and then yet pulled a third servant aside and gave them a completely and third different set of instructions. Each and every servant received the same instruction, or even the same charge, if you will. One servant cannot claim that he or she has received less instruction than the other, or in reverse, if we want to state it positively, one servant cannot claim that they received more instruction than the other. Okay, so one did not get a special blessing, and one did not get a less than special blessing, we should say. This master entrusts his possessions to his servants. I would also want you to notice that in this parable, the master gives according to the servant's ability. The servants themselves did not decide what lot they would have of the master's. They didn't get together, and you know, the master just didn't gather the servants together and say, okay, you know, here are 8 talents, split them up between you. And you can't do it equally because there's 8 talents and 3 servants. You can't split them down. So the master decided, according to the own servant's ability, the master decided who would have what. The servants didn't decide that. And so it is with us as servants of the master today. We do not decide what we do in the kingdom of God. If it is God who gifts according to his will, to his pleasure, and to his purpose. And it is not us. We do not design what talents or abilities that we have. It is God who has gifted us with each of those. The Apostle Paul makes this point very clear in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 7. He says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. And then again, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, he says, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service and to the building up of his body of Christ. And each of those, you know, that's kind of a progression there, each of those leading to the same point. Each of those are, they're diversified in function, but they all have the same purpose in doing their function, and that's building up the body of Christ. It's no different than in our parable here today. The master gives the talents, and they all have the same instruction, the same purpose. You may want to pick and choose. I would say this, that you may want to pick and choose what you do in the kingdom of God, but when it pertains to faithfulness, the question really is, or the thought process really is this what God wants me to do? The subject matter at heart is not, I don't want to do this, or even, I want to do what he or she is doing. And we go through this all the time as parents, or maybe you can recall instances when you were children. You know, it seemed like my brother always got the easy jobs around the house. And I could not stand that. Matter of fact, I pushed him into a barbed wire fence one time before. I've repented of it. You know. He still holds it against me, but I repented of it. But we do that. We get childish when we want what someone else has. We don't see any of that here, on either the part of the master or necessarily on the part of the servants. They accept it as their lot. There's no doubt, I would encourage you with this, that there's no doubt that each believer has been given a task to do. Each of you here, sitting in this pew, have a vital role in the church. Not just the church, our church. However, I think you must also realize that you have a vital role and function outside of the walls of this church as well. You have service here at the church. You have service out there for Christ. God entrusts all believers with a portion of his resources. Many tend to, I think I should point this out, many tend to read this parable in light of finances, which, you know, this parable does govern, but it also governs the teachings on our abilities and gifts, which is how I'm approaching it tonight. When the account is settled, when the ledger will not read from just church service, but the ledger will have the whole of Christian life in view. I want you to understand that. When the account is settled and when we meet our master, the ledger will not, you know, just contain, okay, here's, you know, here's Duane Ewers and here's Vine Street Baptist Church. I think the ledger will include, here's Duane Ewers and here's what has he done with his salvation? How has he built up the kingdom of God? And it will include Vine Street Baptist Church. But it will also include his family, and it will also include his neighbors, and it will also include those that he's been trusted with to bring closer to Christ. And it is the same for you. And it is the same for me. That's why Ben has been doing what he's been doing the past several weeks on Sunday mornings, is that the whole of Christian life is in view here, not just what we gather to do at Vine Street Baptist Church on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. It's intentional. It's purposeful. So, I would encourage you to, yes, you can see this in light of finances, but really what God is saying is that he has entrusted us as believers with a portion of his resources. Secondly, he's also saying that God's people will be commended and rewarded when they are faithful and when they are obedient. The next portion of the story continues with the two faithful servants. Let's set them aside for just a second. The master again decides who gets what among his servants. It is the same with our master. Again, he gifts according to his pleasure and he gifts according to his purpose. In this parable, the first two servants each receive 5 talents and 2 talents respectively. Again, notice that there's no complaining, or at least we're not told there's no complaining on the parts of the servants. They do not bicker about who got more or who received less. And the servants take their lot, and as we learn, it is what they do with what they are given, not with how much they are given. It's what they do with what they are given. So in the eyes of service today, I mean, it really matters. Does not, I say this almost sarcastically. I hope you know what I mean. It does not matter with what gift you've been given. It does matter to a certain degree. Because we need all of those. We need each of the roles that you play at Vine Street. But for what I'm saying here, for our purposes here, it does not matter with what gift that you've been given. What matters is how you use it, how faithful you are with it, how obedient you are with it. Do you build up the kingdom of Christ? Do you invest in the kingdom so that there is more return? The servants who are rewarded are commended. Well done, good and faithful servants. Those are the servants who took risks. They're the servants who went further with what they were given. These servants made a conscious decision to serve their master in the capacity that he knew that he wanted. They all knew this. And the reason that I say that they all knew this is because the first two did it, and the last one that we'll get to in a second, admitted to his master in the defense of not investing his money, admitted to his master that he knew this is how his master operated. So they all knew what their master expected. According to verse 24, we know that the master demanded profit from his servants. One commentator made the following statement regarding these servants, and let me read it and then we'll get to it. He said this: to make no commitment on religious matters is really to make a damning commitment by default. I let that sink in. To make no commitment on religious matters is really to make a damning commitment by default. In other words, if we want to ride the fence post when it comes to faithfulness, we are thereby making a decision against the God we serve. No decision really is a decision. The reality is that the decision the servants and you and I were or are faced with is an easy decision to make. It's an easy decision to say that we want to be faithful with Christ, for Christ. It is the execution of the decision where the trouble lies in the road. If we say that we are for Christ, there is but one decision to be made. There is but one. Are you wholly loving God? Not H-O-L-Y, but holy with everything. Are you wholly loving God? Are you actively serving people? Are you involved in reproducing disciples in his kingdom? Those are questions that we ask with our talents in view. If not, you're making a damning decision. That's a hard reality to face. You cannot teeter on the edge of this decision. God only commends and rewards faithfulness. Only. I'm open to being wrong, but I cannot find a single instance in Scripture where disobedience is blatantly blessed. Just outright, blatantly blessed. Third, those who fail to use the gifts God has given them for his service, those are the ones who are faithless and disobedient, and those are the ones who would be punished. The final perspective in the story is to note that the faithless servant, this parable is almost written as if to pity the faithless servant. Do you get that when you read through it? He's at the last. He's the one who's different. And that's kind of the key to interpreting parables. I don't know if you've realized that kind of when you read through parables. The key to kind of interpreting parables is to find the one thing that's different. And that's usually what it's being focused on. That's not the case for every parable, but for most of them, that's the way it is. If you think about it, if you looked at it in that light, I mean, the one that everybody goes to is the prodigal son. And it's, the one thing that's different in that story is not that the son that returned, it's the son who did not rejoice. So there's always one thing that usually stands out in Jesus' teaching when he's doing this. For our parable today, it's the third servant. It's the third servant that stands out. He's the one who did not do what was expected. This parable is written, you would think, as almost to pity the faithful servant. However, I would say that the parable is written to show a greater respect for the faithful servants and a disdain, not a pity, a disdain for faithlessness. The point of the parable is for us to, this faithless servant should leave a bad taste in our mouth. They should. It should, especially when you read it in the whole of Matthew 25. We're really in the whole of Matthew 24 and 25. We should want no part of this in our life. There is nothing about this third servant that we would want characterized with our name or our service. There is nothing about that we should desire. This servant thought he was doing his master's service by setting idly by. He thought that having one talent was better than having none. He thought that the master did not appreciate risks. He made a decision. He made a decision, and it was the wrong decision. I would tell you now that, service in the kingdom comes with risks. I'm not just talking about the person who leaves here and goes to Southeast Asia or who leaves here and goes to an Islamic country. There's risk there. And I don't want to underappreciate those risks at all. My family served there. I understand those risks. There is risk in going over to your neighbor and confronting them when you know that they're unfaithful to their spouse. There is risk in confronting that family member that has been living a life of sin and has never turned to Christ. There is risk in being the only person in your entire family that worships the living God on Sunday morning. There is risk in living differently and ordering your life differently. Standing up for what you believe in the public square because you believe in the one true and living God. Those are the risks that Jesus not only appreciates, but according to our parable today, would expect. His master owned very much and was quite wealthy. His master always thought of new ways to gain wealth, and we learned that from verse 24. He knew deep down that his master desired more wealth in all situations. He knew that, and he admitted it in his own defense. He knew that his master desired advancement at all costs and at all risks. Yet this servant dug a hole and simply waited for his master's return. How many times will we as believers in Christ simply dig ourselves a hole and wait? We like to long for his return, and I think that's good and that's right and that's done with intention. That's very purposeful in the Christian life. Matter of fact, Paul would tell us to do that. Not to sit idly by, but to wait and to long with a kind of one eye on the horizon and one eye on the field, on the harvest. But we must advance at all costs. We must deny the risk. We know that our master will hold us secure. Ben talked about that this morning. That all of this that Jesus has commanded, this is a daunting task if you really think about it. Going, teaching, baptizing, making disciples, period. But we know that he is never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And he who has all authority will be with us. When will the servants of God be bold servants that he desires us to be? So, just in closing, I have two simple questions. First, which servant are you? Faithful or faithless? I admit, the decision is an easy one. It's an obvious one, I guess we should say. Maybe not so easy is the wrong word. It's an obvious one. It's a difficult one to execute. I get that. I have those challenges in my own life day in, day out. Will not deny the challenge. But I will say that we can't deny the risk. And we can't forsake the reward. second question, because we would be remiss to do so, is in order to be a servant of God, you must first be found in him. Do you have a personal relationship with Christ? If not, I encourage you to make that right tonight. Let's close in a word of prayer, and then Johan will come and lead us in the last two stanzas in Nothing But the Blood. Father, we are indeed grateful for the example laid before us in Scripture tonight. And I pray that each one of us here, we know the obvious decision that needs to be made, but we pray for our execution. We pray, Father, that we are found faithful in all that you've given us, whether it's our family, our job, our resources, our time, the church, the relationships that you've given us, the potential relationships for the gospel that maybe we even don't even know about. We pray, Father, that we are found faithful and obedient. We pray that we forsake the risk, that much reward is given for the glory of your kingdom. Father, if there's one here today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that they make that right even now. Prick their heart, show them their sin. Their need for a Savior is only found in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.